and welcome back to Conversations with Chrissy. So glad you joined me for today's episode where we're going to talk about the important topic of highway safety. As you know, something that's near and dear to my heart, and really proud to have with me a colleague, Will Pines, who is administrator of the State Highway Administration under the Department of Transportation, and really leads a dedicated group of individuals who work on infrastructure planning, work on safety-related issues, and how we complete the build in a way that benefits communities throughout the state. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, Will.
Yeah, thanks, Chrissy. Really glad to be here and just excited about all the stuff we're doing.
Great. Well, before we get started on the important work you're doing, we always like to hear a little bit about your journey and how you got into this role. I know you've been with the state for a while now. Maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about your career journey and how you got here.
Yeah, so I've had a fun ride with the department. It's actually over 20 years now. Started out as an intern at State Highway, wearing steel toe boots in the field every day, making concrete cylinders and doing nuclear gauge density testing for soils. But through that, kind of led into a young bridge engineer designing projects all over the state. My primary background was in the project arena. Got up to be the project director at Maryland Transportation Authority for some of the really large statewide projects. And ultimately, kind of moved up to executive director there, and then August of 2023 came back to State Highway for my second stint. So it's been a meandering journey, a fun journey, but enjoying it all along the way.
That's great. It's kind of like coming back home, right? From starting as an internship. I love that because it shows that with state government, there are so many possibilities. It doesn't matter where you start. It just matters how you apply yourself. And look at you now as the administrator.
Exactly. My father had his own masonry company. And so I just love construction. I remember, you know, riding around with him early mornings in the truck, and he would point to, hey, I did that foundation on this house. And with the state, I've had the same kind of opportunity. Now when my kids are in the car, I can say, you know, Daddy designed this bridge. And it's just something that you rare opportunities unless you're in this kind of environment.
Yeah, a source of pride, ability to make a difference in the community.
Exactly.
One thing that I think is always interesting is your leadership perspective and how that changes when you assume a role like the State Highway Administration with such a wide breadth of responsibility across the state. We think of bad storms and your folks have to be out there responding whenever else is at home, warm. We think about those hot summer days as we're coming into, those folks out with construction, which we'll talk about more. Talk about your leadership perspective a little bit and how it's changed and evolved over time.
Yeah, so earlier in my career, like I mentioned, I kind of came up through the ranks working on projects. But over time, you know, I say now, I joke that I'm a recovering engineer, that those early years were really focused on a lot of data. How many projects did you deliver? Were you on time, on budget? How many bridges did you move out of poor condition and make better? And while all those things are still important, now in leadership, I find that there's a lot more raw and real moments with real communities and people that are kind of dealing with the state of highways and want solutions for their communities, and even dealing with family members who have lost loved ones on highways. So it's a lot more of the people focus now, and it's just critical in leadership to be able to engage with your customer and with the people that are actually impacted by the work we do.
Definitely is so important. And getting into that, you referenced family members and individuals who are lost. So I know last week we celebrated Work Zone Safety Awareness Week and series of events, and Lieutenant Governor joined you and many members along with the Secretary Paul Wiedefeld to really remember those workers that we've lost, but also to put out a reminder to our motorists that it's not acceptable, and we all have to change our behavior.
Great events last week. I talked to a lot of people about how busy it was. We had some in-studio interviews with media on Monday, followed by the press conference on Tuesday with the Lieutenant Governor. Got to see the great artwork that the MVA showed off with the students, carried into Wednesday when we had the Unity Ride and drove around the Baltimore Beltway with numerous contractor partners, industry partners, to kind of remind everybody about the importance of our highway workers and that they have the opportunity to go home to their families every day. Thursday was actually Bring Your Kid to Work Day. Mm-hmm. And so State Highway, we made a meaningful part of the training for the kids, the future drivers, about good practices with work zone safety. And so just a lot of activity. And then closing it out, we had an event partnering with Carroll County Sheriff's Office, where they actually did some enforcement in one of our work zones with State Highway, and had, I want to say, 185 stops for people that didn't respect the move over law. So busy week and really great accomplishments. Again, really honoring those folks who have lost loved ones in work zones.
That's great. And I love the part about kids. You referenced take kids to work and talking to them about the important safety messages and highlighting the contest that we did, first ever work zone safety contest with MSDE as a partner. I'm really excited about that. We're going to continue it each year. But I always think that getting kids when they're young, even before they're ready to drive, thinking about those important safety issues is critical to changing perception, to making sure it's part of their thought process from day one. So I wonder if you could just share a little bit about some of those experiences.
Yeah, I all the time talk about kind of the challenge that we have in American culture. I have three little kids myself, recently sat down and watched Despicable Me 4, the movie. And the opening scene has Gru flying up the mountain, speeding all around every curve. And it starts young, where people are shown this view that fast driving, wild, reckless driving is cool driving.
It's glorified, right?
Glorified. Yeah. They didn't make 10 Fast and Furious movies without a reason. And even all the kids' video games, Gran Turismo, Need for Speed, things that I grew up on and played.
Right.
But somehow we have to break through that and get people to see that these are real serious tragedies. And we see it in the stats. You know, I talked about the personal connections, like you and I, when we go to Maryland Remembers, and state highway employees that are there that have lost loved ones on highway deaths. But today, teenagers across the United States, roadway deaths are still the number one cause for their fatalities. Mm-hmm. How do we break through and get people to see that this is just really dangerous and it's not a game?
It is. It's true. And I love when it said that that's somebody's place of work, right? We try to make our office buildings safe. We get rid of trip hazards. But yet, people are going to work in those zones every day, doing things to make our communities better, to make it safer for us. And yet, just not consider it. That connection of, you know, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister there. I think it's so important to bring that home to everyone.
Absolutely. It's really heartbreaking to meet family members who have lost loved ones, and even just getting around the state and talking to my team about what it's like. We talk about keeping your head on a swivel so that you're trying to be productive. And you'll hear folks say, like, how come the state can't get work done faster?
Right.
But when you're constantly looking over your shoulder to worry about the person who's texting and driving, it's hard to get the job done in that kind of environment. It's scary.
And I just want to add in, because I think it was educational to me as part of the governor's work zone safety task force, that can include mowing. That is a work zone because there are workers out there doing their job, cleaning up the area, mowing the area, in addition to the big construction sites that I think we all think of every time. If you see a construction worker out there, that is a work zone. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So this year's National Work Zone Safety Week, the main host was in North Carolina, but we hosted last year. Mm-hmm. And at that event, we had a few of our workers, I think from the Westminster shop, that came and talked about their experience out doing a litter and mowing operation, and to have their work truck slammed into from an errant vehicle. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. And they're out there just trying to make communities better with aesthetic roadway needs.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that balance, because there is a demand for construction, to whether it's repaving a road or whether it's new construction that you're doing, that balance between keeping workers safe but yet having folks out there. I know there's different times a day you do work zones, so try to avoid the peak hours and things like that. But talk a little bit about how you balance all of that.
It is tough. We say very plainly, we're not ashamed that safety is our top priority. We are right now actively working to update our traffic control standards to provide greater safety features for our workers, increase buffer areas so that if a barrier is hit, that the worker will be out of harm's way. And so you know, we're trying to make great strides in making our work zones safer. But in doing so, it does come at a cost of more congestion through those construction projects. So we do want to get in and get out. We've tried to focus a lot of our construction areas to really have a shorter impact by not having a project run for many, many years. Because we see, like, the Baltimore Beltway project is a great example of a project that had this major crash. Two motorists, one of them going up to 120 miles an hour. Like, I don't know about you. I've never driven 120 miles an hour in my life. Turn around and make us rethink that entire work zone in the middle of a project.
Right.
That's it, it just hurts us on the schedule, and the community suffers as a consequence from that. So it, when we talk about balance, like, the best thing that really would help projects move well is if people just drove better. Right. Then we don't have, then we could have work zones that are completed smoothly, cleanly, and get in and get out. But we do try to adjust closures into off-peak periods to try to minimize the impact, but balance that with being productive and getting the job done.
Oh, it makes sense that things we're seeing cause injuries and fatalities in normal roadway conditions are the same things that are happening in our work zones. So whether it's that excessive speed that you're talking about, distraction, which we know is an issue everywhere, impairment, which is obviously a major concern, and of course not being properly restrained. So the same issues of good driving behavior are really what's needed. Technology, I know, is something that we continue to look at, how technology can help save lives. And I know that's something you at SHA are really interested and invested in as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We're doing all kinds of things on the technology front. Recently, we've kind of opened it up to our shops to purchase what's called a Guardian Angel that can actually mount on themselves. Most people driving around Maryland have seen the amber and green lights that we have on the trucks. But those sit a lot of times in work zones, and people get kind of numb versus having it on the actual worker where they're moving around the work zone and some, you know, catches your eye that, hey, something's moving towards the road to kind of highlight. We also are deploying a new system for drones through the work zone to we have a grant that we actually won through USDOT to monitor work zones with drones to look for areas where there's really high speed differentials that we would be able to report out for better enforcement during that. So the enforcement is partly a speed camera tool. There's a lot of new technologies with that that we're exploring, but also just using policing more. I talked about that move over enforcement event. We're getting really creative with police to have targeted high visibility events to really help educate people. Because frankly, I hear it all the time from the team that are involved in those events that there's still a lot of just lack of understanding about how that move over law is supposed to work.
Definitely. And good to reiterate here, you're now required to move over for everyone, not just our emergency responders, but certainly for our emergency responders. But even if you or I are broken down the side of the road, please stay in your car, but move over for that vehicle as well, because unfortunately we've lost too many of our Maryland residents because something like that had happened and they get out of the vehicle and are struck.
Yeah. If they have their flashers on, whether it's a construction truck, a police vehicle, a personal car, either move over or slow down. Slow down is kind of the last resort. We want you to move over first, but if there isn't an opportunity, another vehicle's in the way, just slow down and you can create that space as much as possible.
No, that's great. And pack your patience, as you said the other day, right? It's not worth it to speed in a work zone and, you know, take your life or somebody else's life. And I think that's an important reminder, too. We have been focused on, because we've lost so many construction workers recently and so many members of the family, but normally the driver puts themselves in just as much risk as they put the construction worker. I mean, we hear all the time, and looking at the stats, that really that driver is the one who winds up injured or unfortunately killed.
Yeah, between 2019 and 2023, we had over 7,000 crashes in work zones, 2,600 serious injuries, and nearly 50 fatalities statewide. So it's, the numbers just speak for themselves. And sadly, the majority of them are either the passenger or the driver of the vehicle. We obviously, as a state, we owe it to our workers to protect them, and that's part of good driving in work zones. But a lot of the risky behaviors that people take lead to their own demise, sadly.
And it's true. So if we all look out for each other, we'll all get home safely. That's the bottom line. Maybe we can talk a little bit about community and collaboration, because SHA does so much with your district offices located throughout the state. And just talk a little bit about what you're doing in some of those areas to raise awareness.
Yeah, so I like to talk about it State Highway, kind of our holistic focus on safety. It's not just work zone safety. We talk about vulnerable road user safety when it comes to bikes and pedestrians, getting out and dealing with our own employees for OSHA-type safety and that. And then our asset classes, just making sure our bridges are safe and people have adequate, safe, maintained roads for them to drive on. So there's a lot of fronts where safety is top of mind in everything we do. And so when we come to the community events, I actually just last week was at an event in Queen Anne's County. We had some folks there that were there for the purpose of that event, but also there to talk about safety. Mm-hmm. Collaborating with your team at the Maryland Highway Safety Office, most of our pedestrian safety action plan public meetings has had someone there to just talk about good practices with riding a bike, walking, and driving around pedestrians and bicyclists. So it's critical. On the back end of that, when you're dealing with the victims, right, I was asked by an elected leader to talk to a mom who lost her son. You know, a 17-year-old young man going to University of Maryland, kind of doing everything right. She was incredibly proud of the person that he was. And to talk to her and hear the experience of having him snatched away from her in a highway death, it's just devastating. It's it's heartbreaking, and it's something that we deal with at the leadership level probably more than people even realize. And so it's personal.
It is.
Like when we talk about being in the community, you do that enough and you talk to actual victims, it changes you.
I know you've talked a lot about workforce development, too. That's really important. Technology continues to change. You've talked about some of the ways you're embracing that. So we need to bring our workforce along. Can you talk a little bit about what you've done there?
We're doing a lot. We have a really great, you know, I'm proud of all of the efforts we're taking with our workforce. We recently updated our strategic plan, and one of the areas of our key focus is team excellence. So that's kind of making sure our workforce is empowered with the tools that they need to get the job done well every day. I like to say I don't just want to have well-trained people. I want us to be national leaders in everything that we do. And so we're very focused on that. A small example, you know, when you're doing work zone efforts every day, you got to have the right equipment, have good equipment. So having good mechanics in our shops to just take care of the tools that we have is critical. And so we started a mechanics apprenticeship program where we partnered with high schools, and we've gotten, I think, about 50 apprentices statewide who are learning on the job, working on big dump trucks, all the way down to fixing weed eaters. And it's a safety issue, an employee safety issue. So a lot of focus for us on beyond that, kind of making sure our traffic control standards are current. We collaborated with the Maryland Transportation Builders and Materials Association to update the training materials so that everybody who works on a Maryland highway, whether it's a utility company, an SHA employee, or a contractor, all of them have some minimum base level understanding of what's expected out on the roads.
It's a lot of coordination throughout the whole network if you think about all the people that are involved in the transportation system and getting them all on the same page.
It's huge, yep.
Is there one project, and you've talked about a lot of things, a lot going on at SHA, so one thing you want to highlight in particular in addition to some of the things you've already mentioned today?
I'm really proud of all of the efforts that we have ongoing. We just recently advertised our first two contracts for our pedestrian safety action plan. When I started in 2023, that was just kind of a dream and a wish, and really tasked my team with an aspirational goal to have a contract under construction with a ribbon cutting in 2026. So we're pushing very hard to meet that deliverable. I am not even aware of any contract that's fully designed that's been advertised as quickly as we put that one together. So really proud of the team's efforts on that. And we're doing a lot with, this last session, there were some new camera bills that passed. The road worker protection bill passed in 2024. that's been a huge lift for the team to be able to implement the first phase of fine changes in June and then the updated in 2025, where the max fine now is $1,000. But we're working on right now putting out a procurement that will allow us to do new ways of even implementing the camera program. Like folks are very used to seeing the porta potties and the trucks and kind of slowing down for that and being able to proceed. The future will be, we'll be able to set up a camera at the beginning and the end of a work zone. And much like what folks see on the Intercounty Connector, where you go through multiple gantries and it can kind of figure out where you went. We could do a similar technique with the camera program to force, make sure speeding is not occurring through the entire work zone limits. So just a few things we're working on, a lot of great projects underway, improving policies and just really making good headway on things at State Highway.
Well, lots of exciting things to come. I wonder if we think about safe roadways, how do you think about that? How do you define that? I know there are technical aspects of it, obviously, but, you know, as you said, you have family, you have kids. I'm sure that comes into mind as you think about safety on our roadways.
It seems simple enough, right? A lot of it on our side is having well-maintained roadways that get people from A to B. But in Maryland history, that really has been a lot of the focus, is designing roadways that just make sure that the soccer mom can get her kid to soccer without thinking about it, right? And that's really critical. But there's also the communities that our roads cut through. And so a lot of road safety in the modern era is thinking about those other users in the area and the folks that live around it, and then us when we have to work around it. So it's a roadways are dynamic. They're changing as communities, as the population of Maryland grows. We're seeing transitions from suburban areas to urban areas. And during that transition period, it doesn't always work that, you know, the amenities that are needed to have safe roads need to grow with the roadway. And so there's a lot of demand on us for projects throughout the state for safety improvements. But safe roads, at its heart, it's a personal accountability issue. Whether it's me or you or anyone else, roads can be safe when people slow down and drive safely, alertly, paying attention to where they're going. At the event the other day with the Lieutenant Governor, we talked about, since the new fine structure went into effect January 2025 with the work zone cameras, we've recorded at least two motorists going over 130 miles an hour in the same stretch of roadway on 695 where those six workers were killed.
And for our listeners in the Baltimore area, you know that is a very narrow area because just the nature of, you know, the topography. You have a Camino on the one side and you've got the other lanes on the other side. And it's not a place, not that you ever want to drive that fast, but certainly in that area with the curves and the dynamics, not so safe at all.
It's just, you kind of have to step back and ask yourself, like, what are you thinking?
Right.
And unfortunately, it makes it really hard when you get these outlier behaviors. The average person doesn't do that, right? But there are the outliers. But I do want to challenge anyone listening not to turn this into a us-them, right? A lot of times we want to treat that 130-mile-an-hour driver like they're so much better than you driving 75. And in reality, both are speeding and both when it comes to a pedestrian, and our road workers technically are pedestrians when they're not in a vehicle. If you're traveling above 40 miles an hour and that person's hit by your vehicle, they have a 90% chance of dying. 40 miles, almost on state highways, most roadways, even in work zone conditions, are more than 40 miles an hour. So if you're not paying attention, you're not maintaining the speed limit, which the work zone is designed for, you're putting someone's life at risk. Don't do it. It's not somebody else that's the problem. It's all of us doing the right thing day in and day out and leading on that. It's a personal thing. I just ask all of the listeners to just take that seriously. Don't think about the other person who's the problem. Think about your own behaviors. It only takes one time to change a life forever.
It does. That's a great message. Are there other things you want to spotlight for our motorists when they're out on the roadway that cause challenges for State Highway Administration?
Yeah, a really big safety issue for us is when we have to do litter cleanups on ramps. A lot of times motorists are throwing trash out their windows in these areas where they kind of know that it's hard to enforce, mm-hmm. frankly. And so State Highway, we're on a 4 to 6 week litter cleanup cycle. What does that mean? So weather permitting, we try to make sure that we hit all of the areas statewide at a minimum of 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. That costs $18 million a year to do. Mm. Okay, $18 million. So for perspective, $18 million in state dollars, if we could apply that to a project and utilize federal money with it, we could do a $100 million project.
Wow.
So just think about, you know, all the communities that want these really beautiful projects in their neighborhoods. We would be able to do a lot more mm-hmm. if people would just wait a little while, you know, mm-hmm. put your litter on the floor, put it in a bag, put it whatever you need to do to get it to a trash can. Don't throw it on the roads. It's very dangerous for our employees when they're doing cleanup in these tight ramps mm-hmm. that weren't designed to have a lot of workers there. It's just a challenging situation. It's frustrating because we have before and after photos. We spent a lot of time trying to understand, like, what kind of cycle would we need to do to keep up with this. And on the ramp from 695 to I-97 southbound, we went out, took photos before, cleaned it to bare grass, like you could eat off of it. And came back a week later, and it looked like we hadn't even cleaned it. So we're doing 4 to 6 weeks, and somebody's littering so fast that it's almost like we need to be there standing out of the window waiting to catch it from people to keep up. And it's infuriating, just the magnitude of the problem. So just ask everybody. It's a basic thing for any kids watching. Get on your parents to, like, you know, I grew up watching Captain Planet when you actually, like, for some reason – knew that it wasn't okay to do this kind of stuff. But just ask everybody to just keep your litter in your car and throw it away when you get home.
Yeah, I think that's such an important message. Got to be frustrating for the workers. They're just out there cleaning it up, and then a week later, it's back to where it was before. Yeah. And like you said, there's larger items. I've seen mattresses and, you know, large things in the middle of the roadway. If cars have to swerve to avoid that, incredibly dangerous.
Part of it is a safety issue for motorists where some things aren't tied down properly. So we see furniture all over the road, mattresses. We've had toilets. We've had abandoned boats. We get tires all over the way. You name it, there's a lot of littering happening. We are working on some enforcement potential opportunities to get better at dealing with this. But it's a tough issue, and it's a human issue. It's just like telling people not to text and drive. Mm. It's a human issue. You know it's wrong. Your parents know it's wrong. Everybody knows that it's not the right thing to do, but people are doing it anyway. And we've got to break through that. Like, if you want your state dollars to go to something meaningful that's going to help your community grow and thrive, don't put it towards litter cleanup.
No. Right? Not helpful. So I couldn't have you here as a state highway administrator and not ask you what your favorite road to drive is in the state of Maryland. Probably like picking in between your kids, right? And which one's
pretty
your
much
favorite. But I'd love to get your perspective on that.
This is a tough one. So I currently live in Harford County, but I've lived in five counties. So I got a lot of different loyalties around the state. And I really, in my 20 years with the department, like I mentioned, I spent a lot of time working with projects. And I had a period working at State Highway's Office of Structures doing bridge inspections and remedial repairs of bridges. And that took me all over the whole state. Mm-hmm. So getting to see the foliage in Western Maryland, right, in the fall, it's breathtaking. There's nothing like it. But riding to budget hearings in Carroll County and in Harford County and Baltimore County, where there's all these beautiful horse farms. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. It's hard to even put my finger on just one to point to. Delaney Valley, you know, you name it. There's a lot of really pretty areas. For me, my father still lives in Somerset County. So when I get in the car and I drive down to, you know, US 50, all the agriculture, just put the window down and let the wind blow in my hair. It's like a very nostalgic kind of feeling for me. And, you know, Southern Maryland, a lot of great things there. The Tiki Bar near the Thomas Johnson Bridge. I spent a lot of time working on that bridge for a while and being the really cool places to visit, to dine. It's Maryland's a beautiful state. It's like impossible to pick one. I love so many of them, but, yeah, Chesapeake City. I mean, the list could go on and on of great places to visit. So,
well, you're right. We do have a beautiful state, and it's nice to be able to visit all the regions and see all the wonderful things that are out there. Thank you so much for being here and really sharing your perspective and your passion for roadway safety. And I certainly appreciate the partnership that we have every day to help drive down the fatalities and truly make a difference with Marylanders.
Yeah. Thanks, Chrissy. Appreciate it.
So thanks again to our listeners. Really appreciate you joining us today. And I certainly hope that you take Administrator Pine's safety message to heart. Remember that those are people's workspaces. They deserve to be able to go home safe to their families. Please slow down. Please put the phone away. Avoid the distraction. Remember, we all want to get home safely, and that includes our workers. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.